So that's the one with the Samson engine. First flew on the 23rd of September. Unfortunately, it was metric and expensive and heavy, so that wasn't going to work either. So the Taylor company sitting with a bright idea and an aeroplane and not having an engine. Next. So luckily, Continental came along and said, we've got an engine. The Taylors went off and Mr. Piper went off and bought an engine, fitted it to the Cub, and it seemed to work very well. Next. And there's the first production Cub, which is serial number 12, that is owned by Piper Aircraft down, and is kept down in Vero Beach. So, next. So production could start. And that started, as you see on the screen, in 1931 as the E2 Cub. There were several other engines tried in the time, because there were some problems with the Continental engine to start with. So there was the F2 Cub with an Aeromarine engine, the G2 Cub with a Taylor engine, and the H2 Cub with the Lenape engine. Next. Walter Jomino then joined the company as a junior engineer, and unfortunately C.G. Taylor was ill, so Mr. Piper, wanting to get more sales from the Cub, asked Walter to redesign the Cub and make it look more pretty, and this was done with the J2 with the rounded wingtips, etc. And that was a great success. It sold well, and as you all know, the J2 Cub's in silver. When Mr. Taylor then came back and found out what they'd done to his Cub, he was very annoyed, and there was a big argument between Mr. Piper and Mr. Taylor, and Mr. Piper bought out his share, and Mr. Taylor went off and joined and created the Taylor Young Company, later Taylor Craft, and therefore Mr. Piper was all by himself in the Taylor Company. Next. So things were great in 36, selling the J2, but then unfortunately a spark with the toner burnt the factory down in March 37, and so we had to find another factory. Next. The Lockhaven had a disused silk mill next to the Susquehanna River. And so Piper moved there in the summer of 37, they then decided to change their name to Piper Aircraft Corporation as of the 1st of November. Next. This is a cool picture from my point of view. It's the experimental J3, and you can see on the picture, hopefully, that it has not got a balanced rudder and it's got a tail skid. It's the experimental J2 plane that they worked on to create the J3. You'll see on the top of the screen there that, and I talked about the letters starting with A and then a number. People think that the J in the J2 is for Jomino. Well, technically that's not quite right. The J was just the next letter after H for the H2, and so the J, it just happens that Walter Jomino did design the J2, but it was the next letter in sequence. What is more correct to say is that the J in J3 is for Jomino, because instead of going to the K2, which would be the next letter and a 2 place, he decided to stay with the J and just add an extra number. So that became the J3. So technically, the J3 is the J for Jomino. Next. So this was the definitive J3 Cub. As we all know, type certificated on the 30th of October 1937 and went into production in December 37. Next. And of course, there were several models. And I'm sure you know all about the J3C Continental, J3F for Franklin, J3L for Lycoming, but perhaps you don't know about the J3M for Manasco. That was a single ignition engine But the CAA at the time, now the FAA, said that all planes had to be dual ignition, so that didn't really get going. And then, of course, the J3P, the Lenape. And, of course, started at 40 horsepower, and then 50 and 60 for the Franklin, and 65 horsepower engines. Next, of course, being next to the west branch of the Susquehanna River was very useful for seaplane development. So all the models had seaplanes, Franklins, Lycomings, Continentals. They're very popular, and on skis as well. Next. And as I said to you before, J2 was silver, the J3 was yellow, and the reason they changed that was because it was more visible in the air. Just one other fact, of course, is that they say that 80% of the US pilots in World War II learned to fly in a Cub. Thank you. Next. Just a couple of shots. I'll just show you the pre-war and post-war Cubs. The pre-war Cub interior there, and then next. And then there's the post-war J3 Cub. Next. So, important people. Jake Miller was the sales manager, and he was a really key person. Set up a great distributor and dealer network across the USA, and sales increased dramatically, as you can see there, from the 300s up to the 1500s to the 3000s in the next few years. Next. So to support all those sales, Mr. Piper had to do a Henry Ford on the production line. So they had a conveyor belt system throughout the factory to move the major sub-assemblies, and the paint and toner application and drying was done on a conveyor belt that went up in the air, by the time you could get 10 wings on that, and by the time it came down, it was dry for the next coat. Next. And then, of course, a long production line. Next. And, of course, this is typical of the adverts at the time. Count the Cubs was a famous saying that was around a lot. Next. And, of course, there were lots of record breakers in the days of this era. Next. And, of course, air show people. This is Dan Fowley showing that he can take off and land on a moving vehicle, just like we saw yesterday, I believe. Next. So the L4 was, I guess, what we're in when Pearl Harbor happened. Production of civil aeroplanes had to stop. And Mr. Piper had a lovely factory not doing anything. So he persuaded, amongst others, to the armed forces that we could do something with Cubs. And as you know, that we built 5,400 059-stroke L4s for the armed forces that saw active service in the UK and in Europe and in Asia. And basically, making it simple for you, would be that cabin glazing to look out. The observer sat backwards on a sling seat, and they were used for artillery spotting and transporting generals around. Next. And they're lovingly known as grasshoppers, puddle jumpers. They say that when the Germans heard an L4 Cub going over, they said, "Oh my gosh, we're going to get hit with artillery," because they knew that they'd been spotted. Next. And of course, there's several different models in that era in the wartime. The top right there is the O-59. In actual fact, that doesn't have the cabin glazing. The first 40 airplanes didn't have the cabin glazing, but the later ones obviously did. The bottom left there is the NE-1 for the Navy, and that didn't have cabin glazing either. And the right-hand side was the training glider, the TG-8, which is a three-place glider. Next. And again, the adverts, so this is one of the typical adverts at the time. Just to remind you that not only is it the 75th anniversary of the Piper Company and the J3 Cub, it's actually the 70th anniversary of the L4. Next. And this is a typical L4 in the UK. I run a club in the UK for vintage Pipers. And we have about 50 L4s like this one that we enjoy flying. And you'll notice this one's got invasion stripes on it. That's the yellow stripe, the white stripes on the fuselage and the wing. And those were put on after after D-Day in 1943, so that we could tell the difference between the good planes and the bad planes. Next. And again, that's another typical advert. I don't know whether you can see it, but that's teaching Mary how to fly and doing a spiral. Next. Now, the J3 was built in several factories. There was a sub plant, if you like, at Ponca City, Oklahoma, between 46 and 47. And it was also, next, it was also built in at Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, and called the Prospector. There was a slight difference between the Canadian model and the Piper model in the fact that they increased the baggage compartment at the back and put an auxiliary fuel tank in the back. And that was because the distances between airfields in Canada was much greater than the distances here in the US. Next. And there were several experimental projects from the factory. The top left was the typical clip wing for the air show pilots. The top right one, if you can see it, has got a nose wheel. So Piper looked at a nose wheel cub in the 40s. The bottom left was to see how fast a cub would go. That's the J3X or the P5. And that has a fully cowled engine and no struts, as you see, it's a cantilever wing. And it did go 100 miles an hour. The right-hand one, bottom, was Mr. Piper's personal plane. He liked a high tailwheel. Next. So in total, 20,303 J3s and L4s were made. Next. And what I find astonishing is the fact that there's 5,400 still alive today. That's 26% still flying. And that must say something about these things. Next. I think we're there. That was a brief history. I hope you got something from it. Thank you. Thank you.